Blog Talk Radio.
We have a program for you tonight. Welcome to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat room where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. If you will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send us a text message with questions or comments at area code 567-259-6043. Please like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Now, tonight, we will be studying again from the book of Revelations. And as a footnote, all lessons and studies are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. Now, this is an administrative note. About every 15 minutes, we will pause for Q&A, questions and answers. And I would suggest that you have your Bible ready in hand with pencils and papers for note-taking. Now, this is the format, the key words that we will be involved in throughout the study in general. The first is stressing the spiritual versus the physical. For you know that Jesus taught us that it's the inside that is significant compared to the outside. Number two, we're going to be identifying at least one instruction from every chapter in every book of the Bible. Three, relating true and faithful sayings from non-traditional scriptures. There are some written material, for instance, the Apocrypha, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that are true and faithful sayings as Paul taught Timothy and Titus and as the Spirit instructing the churches identifies. So we will be using some, and I'll let you know when that is the case. Four, we will be having drills associated with standing on the promises. We will be engaged in some Bible exercises. We will be using New Testament to substantiate the Old Testament and using the Old Testament to substantiate the New Testament. Now, this is significant because they complement one another. And so Jesus said that he came to fulfill and not to destroy. So if we can connect or if we can't connect, then there is a lacking in our understanding of what the meaning is that we're trying to get from the Bible itself. Number eight, having open dialogue with the listener. And our host has already given you the media or the medium by which we will do that. And every 15 minutes, it'll be reiterated. Number nine, we want all lessons are going to be spiritually intensive. That means a lot of scripture identified, chapter and verse. And we want to be innovative and provocative. Our intent is to build one another up in the most holy faith, to sharpen each other's iron. And that includes me too. That's why dialogue is so important. Now, the radio program description is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. the entire review of the 66 books of the canon according to Protestant authority using the Old King James Version. Point one, again, we're going to be reviewing every book in the Bible from Genesis through Revelations in the order established by the teacher, me. And that order will identify the lesson that we are currently sharing. It won't necessarily be in chronological order. Point two, identifying instructions from every chapter out of every book according to the teacher, me. And that is, some chapters may have more than one instruction. And again, these are the instructions that I see. Now, you may see other and more instructions, which is great. And that's why I would like to have your feedback to share that with me. Now, the instructions, of course, are my opinion and can be added to or taken away from at the discretion of the listeners. And that's why, again, it is so critical that you dialogue with me so I can understand also exactly what you know, and then I can know. Point four, to give a personal interpretation of lessons by the teacher, me, which are open to dialogue by the listener. And point five, scriptures are used to validate opinions. That's one reason why we're so scriptorial intensive, is because we want to make sure that the written word is where we're drawing our information from. Okay, now we want to get into our lesson for this evening. And that lesson is going to be what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we know from the last program that we got into several of what the instructions that the Spirit gave to the churches are. Now, what I want to do is remind those who were with me last week and to announce to those who are with me this week that we are the church that the instructions are given to. Those seven instructions are part of the parable or the mystery of, or the symbolism of, the book of Revelations and of the entire Bible. So those seven instructions are actually one to us. We should see after we study them that each one relates to the other and it builds upon it. So just as the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is one God, they have different characteristics, and that is the reason for the writer putting it into symbolism. But be that it may, we want to make sure that each instruction that we're talking about is considered as one that we are responsible for obeying. So let's get into the study. This instruction is what the Spirit says to the church at Pergamos. And what we're going to be doing is using the text, Revelations chapter 2, verse 18 through 29. Or, correction, chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. This is what these text says. And the angel, which is our soul, of the church of Pergamos, writes, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. We know that that is Jesus Christ talking. The church, again, is the body that the soul is in. So this instruction is identifying us. Verse 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. We know that this is where Satan is. In John chapter 15 or 16, it tells us that the prince of this world has been judged. So we know that from that information Jesus gave us, that Satan is the one that is down here who is among us. And the works that we do are significant. And Antipas, that was a saint, or a saint that was canonized by the Catholic Church. And he presumably was appointed by John the Apostle as bishop over Pergamum, and he was slain by the emperor Nero. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, what this is all saying is this is what the Spirit has against us. We are here in this environment, and we have those who are influencing us. There are not only preachers and ministers and evangelists, but also outside of that realm, there are presidents and governors and senators and representatives. They are trying to influence us to do things that is contrary to God's law. Verse 15, it says, thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And the word Nicolaitans, again, is disguised, and I would say it means ungodliness. This is what the Spirit continues to say. Verse 16, repent, or else I will come upon thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, this is critical because it's telling me, Pete, you have to repent, or when I come, I'm going to fight against them, all those who are unrepentant. So, again, if you're caught in the situation as we are, coronavirus, if you're out there and about, and you shouldn't be, you could be impacted or infected by that virus. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the white stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This is the conclusion of every instruction. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So this is what the Spirit is telling to us. And if we overcome, in this instance, we will eat of the hidden manna that is given from God. And to tie this together with what the Old Testament gave a glimpse of in general, and this is being more specific, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And this is what Moses identified God as telling the people of Israel, giving them a glimpse of what, again, like I'm saying, the Spirit is telling us today. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. For those who have their Bibles, or if not, write this down. This is significant. This substantiates what the Spirit is talking about at Pergamos. It says, in verse 3 of chapter 8, Deuteronomy, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. So that is the connection to this particular instruction at Pergamos. We can see that that manna is, in this instance, spiritual. Now, we know that in the New Testament, God came, or Jesus came, to save that which was lost. So we know that he came not to save the flesh, but to save the spirit. So that manna I'm sharing with you is the glory of God, it is the grace of God, and it is the mercy of God. And that is what this instruction is saying at this time. Now, I would, again, invite you to share with me as much input as possible. And as we get ready to go into this commercial break, then you will have that opportunity to do that. Okay. We should be into the break.
The shortcut is a lie. The hack doesn't get you there. And if you want to take the easy road, it won't take you to where you want to be. To reach goals and overcome obstacles and be the best version of you possible will not happen by itself. It will not happen cutting corners, taking shortcuts, or looking for the easy way. There is no easy way. There is only hard work, late nights, early mornings, practice, rehearsal, repetition, study, sweat, blood, toil, frustration, and discipline. Discipline, the root of all good qualities, the driver of daily execution. Discipline defeats the infinite excuses that say, not today, not now, I need a rest, I'll do it tomorrow. There is only one way, the way of discipline.
Hey, Pete, you had a question from a listener. What do the seven churches in Revelations stand for?
Thank you for that question. The seven churches in Revelations stands for you. It stands for me. It stands for the ecclesia, the called out. All seven of these churches represent the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ. I hope that that does answer your question. The reason of that point that it is given in seven features is just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are all one God. They have other characteristics, but they are one. And so the churches are we, you and me. Thank you for that. Any others, Chris? Okay.
No, that was only one. I'll let you continue on.
We will continue with the next instruction, and I will again encourage you, please open up your Bibles and have your notepad and pen ready. And we're going to go to the next church instruction. What the Spirit says to the church at Thyatira, or some may say Thyatira. It is in the book of Revelations, chapter 2. Verse 18 through 29. And this is what it says in the text about the Spirit speaking to the church. And unto the angel of the church, that is our soul, and we are the church. So that's our body and soul. It's we who the Spirit is speaking to. In Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. That's Jesus Christ. It says, I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now, I'm going to give you a tidbit. On all of the instructions, it talks about works. And so we'll know more and get to that when we get into later chapters of the Revelation book, why works is so significant. But in this instance, most theologians, or some theologians, say, and the last to be more than the first, reference that when you start your works in charity and service and faith and patience and works, that it is lacking perfection. And as you do more and more, you know, practice makes better, so you get better at it. So the last one you do is better than the first. But I'd like to share this with you. There's a parable that Jesus gives back in the Gospels, when he talks about the landholder sending folks into the field to labor morning, noon, and night. And the first ones and the last ones, he paid the same amount of wage. But the first ones thought that they should get more than the last ones. And so Jesus said in the parable that the landowner said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So at that instance, this connecting to the last to be more than the first means to me that those who labored first in the vineyard, even though they were last, they will receive more than those who were last that went in first. Now, I don't know if that confused you, but give me an email and we'll discuss it. Give me a call. Contact me some way as you can, and we will determine or discuss that at length. Now, we're going to go to verse 20. Verse 20 says, Notwithstanding, I have these things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All right, this is what the Spirit is telling us. This is something that we're at fault. We're not as perfect as we should be. Remember, Jesus says, be ye perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. So this is what is happening. We have those ministers and preachers and teachers, including me, if you will, and evangelists that are causing us to sin. And this is what the Spirit is telling us we have to stop and beware of. And in verse 21, it says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. That means we think that we are doing what is right. So, and you know, in the book of Judges, it said, every man did what was right in his own eyes, and there was chaos. Verse 22 says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that conduct adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. There's works again. There's significant. But we're talking about specifically spiritual works. But we'll get into the detail of works more and when we get into more of the chapters of the book of Revelations. But this is what I want to have you realize, that when the Spirit says, and I will kill her children with death, what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve sinned, and God judged them and judged us because of them, and we inherited that sin. So similarly, those of us who are out there doing wrong, we can influence people to do wrong. And remember what Jesus says, it would be better to have a millstone tied around our neck than to have any of the children, you know, cause to do wrong. Verse 24 says, but you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put none other burden on you but that which you already have. Hold fast until I come. So we have to hold fast until Jesus comes for us, not the end of the world, but for the end of our life. And that if we don't have the understanding of the evil that is in the world and take part in that evil, then we will have no other burdens put upon us than that which we already have. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. And that's why we stand on the promises of God. Verse 26 says, and he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Listen, my brothers and sisters, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And I'm going to share with you what the power is over the nations. That is the power over your body. That's what the Spirit is speaking of. And you will rule your body, as it says in the text, verse 37. And you will receive the morning star, which, of course, is Jesus the Christ. And Jesus says that he will send us another comforter, and that is the Holy Ghost, and that is who gives us the glory of God. Okay, again, if you have any comments, I would love to hear from you. Please, as the host has given you the different media to go to, or the different mediums to go to and get that information to me, please do that so we can discuss it. All right, we're going to continue with the Spirit speaking to the church at Sardis. And we're going to go to back to Revelations chapter 3, verse 1-6. And the question again is the Spirit speaking to the church at Sardis. And this is what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, that's us, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, those who are with me from the last class, we already went through who the some of what is meant by the mystery of the seven spirits and the stars. That thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead, and that name is Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, that I have not found thy works perfect before God. We are perfecting ourselves, my brothers and sisters, as we move forward to our salvation. And the other things that are ready to die that may not be in place yet, we have our five senses. And we know seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling, okay, talking. That is an area that we know we all have to work with to perfect. And that's why we have to be watchful and strengthen those areas. And verse 3 says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt know not what hour I will come upon thee. So if you want to be like our patriotic fathers were in the patriotic period, they knew when it was their time to transition, to go home to the Father. If we want that to be the case for us, we're going to have to adhere to what this Spirit is saying to the church. Verse 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And this is significant again because you and I, as the prophet Elijah was afraid of Jezebel, who was going to kill him after he killed up all of her priests, that God had to let Elijah know that there were more like him. And that is what this is telling us. We have thousands, if not millions, of Christians that we could look to and depend on to help us through the struggle that we're having this side of eternity. And verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we know that the only advocate with the Father at judgment is not you, me, and Jesus. It's not you, me, or me, you, and Jesus. It is you and Jesus. It is me and Jesus. This is significant. And the white robe, we will hear more about that in the succeeding chapters as we go through the book of Revelation. So now we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, and tie the Old Testament in with this instruction. Isaiah 61, verse 10, and it's going to tell us this about the tie-in from this instruction. It says, I was greatly rejoiced. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? This is the key. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So that again, my brothers and sisters, that is that garment that verse 5 in chapter 3 of the Revelation, speaking at the church of Sardis, that you shall be clothed in white raiment if you adhere to this lesson. All right, we have a couple of minutes before we go into the break. What I'll do is just introduce you to the next instruction, and it will be taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 7 through 13, and we will be talking or listening to what the Spirit says to the church at Philadelphia. So again, get your input to me on the previous instruction. I would appreciate it so we can learn together. That's the intent. This is a two-way street. That's why I teach in dialogue, because I want to know what you know. If I know what you know and I know what I know, then I'm going to be double in my knowledge. Remember, Job for his due diligence, he received a double reward at the end of his life. Okay, so we're into the second break. Chris?
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't going to talk about my success. They're going to talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives. You've developed people. And you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Just remember, you can email us at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can also send a text message to us at 567-259-6043. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Let us, my brothers and sisters, open up our Bibles to the book of Revelations, pen and paper in hand, to write down these instructions as they are given to us by the Holy Word of God. We are in Revelations 3, verse 7 through 13. And this is what the Spirit is saying to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, that is to us, my brothers and sisters, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. And we know that is Jesus Christ. I know thy works. Again, works are significant. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The name is of Jesus. The faith is what keeps us in that name. And no one can deny that or take it from us. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thee and to know that I have loved thee. This is telling us that there are going to be many that look at us and see who we are in Christ. And then they're going to want to come worship with us, which is what we want. For Jesus told us, let our light so shine before man that they see our good works and they glorify the Father which is in heaven. Verse 10 tells us, because thou hast kept the words of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, I'm going to share something with you, that when Jesus told us in the book of Matthew that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, this is an indication, a good example of the easy and light of the burden and yoke of Jesus Christ. If you keep the words of his kingdom in patience, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my word, and the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. That's the indwelling, my brothers and sisters. And this is what the instruction is saying. I will keep you from the hour of temptation. And you know that that is what our most significant emesis in this life, this side of eternity, is temptation. Verse 11 says, behold, I will come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And we know that if we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we will attain this promise. And verse 12 says, him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my God. And listen, my brothers and sisters, and I will write upon him my new name. When the seal comes, and we will read about the sealing of the saints, when the seal comes, you want written across your forehead, occupied, meaning that it's only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is within you. Verse 13 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So this is significant because we know, and we're going to get to the Psalms that will undergird this instruction, giving a sense of a prophecy to it. When the psalmist said in Psalms 31 or Psalms 23 says that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very significant. Now let us go to Psalms 27, and we're going to be reading verse 2 through 6. And this is what David says in Psalms 27. And this is telling us how this instruction that we're receiving at Philadelphia is significant. Psalms 27, verse 2 through 6. And this is what it says. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell, listen, my brothers and sisters, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in times of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. There is in the pillar of the temple, in the secrets of his tabernacle, shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon the rock. And we know that the stumbling block, the rock that was rejected by the builders, became the head of the corner. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And you will be, my brothers and sisters, above the fray. You will be on high. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's why singing, worship, and praising is so significant, because that is one of the sacrifices that is required of a royal priest. And we are all royal priests, my brothers and sisters. All who follow Christ are royal priests. So that is the connection. And I want to take time to go to Isaiah to show you how he, the prophet, undergirded what the psalmist said and what is written in the book of Revelations. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 63, Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, 3, and 12. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said. In Isaiah 62, verse 2, 3, and 12, it says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Remember, the previous instruction said we will get a new name that only we shall know. "Thou shalt also be crowned of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." We are, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, royal priests. Verse 12 to conclude. "And they shall call them thy holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." And we understand that we are the ecclesia, the called out, my brothers and sisters. Now, again, we're getting ready to go to another instruction. So I would ask you to go to the media that is available to you to give me your input, because I am very anxious and excited to learn what you know and to add to my building up and to sharpen my iron. So I beseech you to do that. Now we're going to go into the instruction, Revelation, the text, 14 through 22. And it's going to be what the Spirit says to the church at Laodicea. That is Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. And this is what it says. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write," and that is to us, my brothers and sisters, "these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That is Jesus Christ. "I know thy works." There are the significance in all seven of these instructions. Works is highlighted, "that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." So it's telling us in verse 16, "because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So we have to realize that we must be better than average. We must be more than just commonplace. And that's why a lot of our fellow Christians are not receiving the blessings and gifts and fruits of God. They are commonplace and not more than average. Verse 17 says, "But thou sayest, I am rich physically, and increased with goods physically, and have need of nothing physically. But listen what the instruction says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" What I'd like to share with you is what Paul gave us in Romans chapter 8, chapter 7. Paul said, "That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And at the conclusion of his dissertation, he says, "Oh, wretched and miserable man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he tells us, Jesus the Christ. So verse 18 says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not seen, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And that is telling us the clothing, again, that we must be wrapped in order to overcome the physical world that we are living in. "And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And we understand about that tough love, that many are the afflictions, the psalmist says, of the righteous. The Lord God delivers him out of them all. "Behold, I will stand at the door and knock. If any man shall hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit speaks to the church. So again, my brothers, how significant that is when we overcome, we will receive the ultimate reward, not just getting into the gate, not just coming into the temple, but sitting on the throne. And when we get into a further chapter, we'll learn about the 24 elders that are already sitting on that throne with the Lord God Almighty and his Lamb. And now we're going to connect this to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. This is going to give us an understanding of what Isaiah prophesied, identifying what we're talking about in this particular revelation. Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to go to verse 12, and this is what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 12. It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So what this is telling us, if we keep the instructions of what the Spirit is saying to the churches, Jesus has already kept the world, the will of God, and is now seated at the right hand of God. He has received a portion, and he told us in the book of John that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. So this is telling us that he has a place for us. And the prophecy says, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. So if we endure to the end, as Jesus again tells us in the Gospels, that we will attain what we need in this instance. So that is the tie-in of the Old Testament to this revelation. And one more before I let you go into a break, I want to take you to John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. And again, Jesus is adding more to what we understand that we will receive if we adhere and perform correctly. This is what John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3 says. Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And I just shared it with you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that is the question that I'm posing. And if you have, again, any additional information adding to or taking away from, please let me know so I can learn along with everyone else, because that is my intent with this class, to teach. I am a student teacher along with everyone else. Okay, Chris, you can go with the commercial.
Like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.
The mind is the battleground. It is the place where the greatest conflict is. There are more people in this room having trouble in their mind than there are people having trouble in their finances. The struggle is in your mind. This is why we have people who go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours and you wake up still tired. The reason you wake up tired is that you got sleep but you didn't get rest. Your mind has been in turmoil all night long. You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all tore up just like you've been in a fight because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Touch somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind. Out to worry you to death, out to stress you to death, out to break you down, out to make you quit, out to make you think that you can't get up, out to make you give up on your dream. The warfare is in your mind. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your savings account. It's not on your job. The fight that you got to fight is in your mind. And if you whip it in your head, you can whip it in your checkbook. You can whip it on your job. You can whip it out of your children. But you got to try. Out of your head.
Now, welcome back. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. All right. Now, I would like to share with you as we wind down a significant understanding that I would like to drill. Remember, I mentioned in the format that we will be doing drills. Well, this is part of the drilling, all right? And what I wanted to remind you, students and listeners, is to listen to this great admonition from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. So those that have pen and paper, please write this down. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, 10 through 12, which reminds us, and this is going to tell us that don't forget about God. That is the key. And this is what the writer says. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou built not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filled not, and wells digged, which thou dig not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. My brothers and sisters, our land of Egypt is the world. Our house of bondage is our flesh. And that's why the Spirit speaking to the church is so significant. And it tells you about leaving your first love. Do not forget about God, how much you prosper. Jesus told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you. Okay, you can be fat, but don't forget God. And secondly, this is the way you may know that you are pleasing God. That is so significant because God is going to feed you if you are pleasing him. Because the prophet Ezekiel says that the Lord will feed the sheep of his pasture. And we know that Jesus tells us that the workman is worthy of his hire. And that Paul says that the laborer is the first partaker of the fruit. So this is going to tell us how we are pleasing. This is going to show us that we are pleasing God. This is it. Listen to this and write it down, that the way is abounding in the gifts and fruits of God. Now, Paul identifies at least 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. He identifies wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, miracles, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and at least 9 fruit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And listen what Paul says, against such there is no law. That means that we could have as much of the fruit as we desire. And listen, my precious brothers and sisters, that the fruit of the Spirit gives us our salvation guarantors, our salvation securities, love, faith, long-suffering. Jesus says, through your patience possess ye your souls. These are guarantees, and we can have as much of it as we desire. And Jesus says about this in John 15, verse 8, please write that down. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, not some fruit, not a little bitty fruit, but much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And again, in John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, Jesus says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit or beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Pete. Ye are the branch. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. My precious brothers and sisters, that is how we know we are pleasing God and we are pleasing Jesus Christ. Okay, we are ready for our ending commercial. Chris, take it over.
Just remember, you can email us your questions or comments at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can text us with your questions or comments at 567-259-6043. Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us next Wednesday, May 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Episode 3 of Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you have a phenomenal evening.
Any comments, Pete? You have about a minute left.
Okay, I would like to say that next week we will be going into the vision of the seven spirits of God. Remember earlier, the Spirit speaking to the church told us that he holds these seven spirits in his right hand, and he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So we are going to see and understand more about these visions. And we're going to also look at the vision of the four beasts that the Bible tells us are cherubim, actually, angels. And we will see the significance of that, and we will be looking at the vision of the 24 elders that I mentioned earlier, those that are seated on the throne with the Lord God Almighty and his Lamb. And we will also be looking at the vision of the seven seals, which we are going to be going into as the next segment of the study particular area. The book of Revelations, I have divided into four categories or four significant areas. The first, the instructions of the Spirit to the churches. The second, the seven seals. The third, the visions of the book of Revelations, and the fourth, the end times. Those are the four major categories that I have developed for the study that I'm giving.
Standing on the promises of God.